Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton and our guest, yours and mine, Miss Evelyn Lowe. Evelyn, the motivator, and she is talking with us about that all-important concept of holding the thought and bridling the tongue. And one of the things that I'm picking up on already as you speak with us, Evelyn, is that holding the thought, bridling the tongue is not just what we don't do, but it's also what we do.
That's correct. When you want to hold a thought, let's say, for example, a negative thought try to come through, like, for example, you can't do that, you know, because sometimes we are talking to ourselves in our heads, but this is really what thoughts are. As a matter of fact, psychologist says that we think at a rate of 600 words a minute, so we are constantly yabbering and jabbering about something. So in our mind, so a thought comes through, you can't do that, you got to stop that thought before it completes. And then you have to examine it. Now, why did I think something like that? And what's going to probably happen is you're going to go back to childhood. Okay, somebody told me that I couldn't do that when I tried that before. Or my parents said, stop, don't do that. So, but you have to go back, figure out where it is, examine it. And then you're going to say to yourself, now that's not my reality anymore. That's not my truth. So this is the way I think now. That's the way I was thinking then. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and I thought that way. But now it's different. So who am I today? This is not how I think. Yes, I can do it. I will do it, and I shall do it. So you have to correct yourself. And this is how you stop it, you correct it, you examine it first, then you correct it. And you keep on correcting it until finally your mind understand and you that, are we still there?
Mm-hmm.
That this is who you are, how you think, and where you're going at this time. And so you keep changing your thinking, keep changing it until finally you'll uproot it. And then it'll just diminish.
Oh.
You'll stop thinking that way. You know, you won't think that way anymore.
So one of the things that you're sharing with us now, really and truly, is how to overcome strongholds.
Right.
I know a lot of times people think about stronghold as something outside of us, but really the stronghold has to do with what's going
within.
On in our own minds.
That's
within.
Right.
And so a lot of times, to the extent that we can go back and find the root of whatever it is that's troubling us,
it really
pays to go back to that root and
deal with it.
That's
right. I look at the mind like a vegetable garden, because I have a vegetable garden. I love eating healthy. If you allow the grass and the weeds to take over, then what will happen is it will choke the vegetables out and stunt their growth. Same thing negative thinking does for us. It will cause you to have negative conditions, negative circumstances, negative events. And what's going to happen is then you're unproductive. It stunts your physical, your mental growth. It stunts your psychological growth and your emotional growth. So if you don't dig it up by the root, and you can't, you know, like if there's some grasses in the garden, if you dig it up and you lay it aside, it'll take root again. But if you dig it up, move it, burn it, get it out of the way. So the way you're going to do that is you just keep hammering at it. No, that's not the way I think anymore. That's not my reality. That's not my truth. That you just have to keep going at it until you dig it up and you don't have to deal with it anymore. Wow. Then you move on to something else.
Interesting. And I noticed what you said is you have to keep going at it. One time may not be enough.
No.
You've got to be persistent in uprooting this thing and, like you said, burning it once it's finally uprooted.
Yeah, because you've got to think about how long you've been thinking the way that you're thinking.
Yes.
And you got to think about some of it came from environment, some of it came from peers, some of it came from family members, you know, and some of it came from ourselves when we're stopping to think, I wonder how that works. And then so we don't know the answer to it, but we said, okay, this is how it works. So we accept that as our truth. And so all of that stuff has to be dug out of there. So now we got to actually look at it for what it is. And if we're going to be positive and if we're going to exercise faith, then that means there's a certain way we have to think. And if it's going to be positive, it can't be anything that's going to tell us that we're inadequate, incompetent, and can't do this and can't do that, or I'm going to be sick, or and basically what we're saying and what we're thinking is actually causing us to be who we are, because it becomes our reality. When we change the way we think, we change the way we speak, we can change our lives.
So now, for the person who is having a difficult time with whatever it is they're having a difficult time, they know a change is needed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're listening to us now, and they say, you know what? Now, I remember Evelyn the Motivator said that one of the things I've got to do is really deal with this thought process. Where did it come from? Track it down the best I can. Mm-hmm. If they find themselves unable to go all the way to its beginnings within them, can they start where they are?
You can start right where they are and say, this is not the way I'm going to think today. Today, I'm going to think like this, that I can do it, and I shall do it. So from wherever you are, but it's a good thing if you can go back and figure out where it came from, then you can see, wow, you know what, that really was, now that was invalid.
Yeah.
You know, when you can actually see it, you can say, now that did not really make sense, but I accepted it because as a child or whatever, I didn't know any better. I accept whatever they told me.
Yes.
But now I know better. So I'm going to have to change that way of thinking so that I can change my life. I mean, that's the bottom line. When we look at a lot of times, we become so depressed, you know, we're so sad. And if we really look at it and stop and listen to ourselves, it's because we're thinking about something from the past that happened that was sad. And that's not a good thing, because when you're sad and depressed, and especially, you know, if you grieved or you're grieving, what happens is it registers on the part of the brain called the hippocampus. And that activates the pituitary adrenaline cortical network. What it does is it stops our immune mechanism from working. Mm. And what that does is leave us open for tumors and infections and a whole lot of other kinds of diseases. So in order to change this sadness and all this depression, start thinking about something happy. Okay. That's how you change it.
Okay.
Because you can't think, the law of the mind is you can only think one thought at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you change that, if you say, wait a minute, what's making me sad? Why am I looking so depressed? Because it shows all over your whole continent change, your continent change. So what you're going to do then is say, okay, why am I looking at yourself in the mirror? Why am I looking like this? My eyes are sad and they're glossed over. What's happening? And stop and listen to your thoughts. So then you change them. Oh, I got you. I know you're trying to tell me something that happened a while back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not accepting that. Today is a brand new day. And this is the way I'm going to think today.
So part of what's happening then a lot of times is our memories, even if only on the subconscious level, are working against us.
Right.
And we've got to be able to take control of those memories and let them know you're no longer in charge here.
That's right. That's how you start digging it up again by the root.
Okay.
Because memory, you're back in the past.
Yes.
So you got to dig that up. Say, no, that's the way that was then, and that's how I was thinking then. But now, today, this is how I shall think, and I'm going to do this. And then you have to make a conscious effort, or either you can remain in the prison of doom and gloom forever. There's a story that I read one time about this man who was in prison, and he stayed there for 20 long years. Every day the guards would bring him bread and water, and he just sitting in his cell, not even thinking about the possibility of freedom. So finally one day he decided, he said, wait a minute, it seems like I've been here long enough. There's something is wrong with this. So he got up and he pushed on the door of the cell. It opened.
Hmm.
So he walked down the hall. He was looking over his shoulders, and he walked outside. He was looking back, and he walked out a free man. Only because he thought about the possibility of being free. So when we're in the state of doom and gloom, when we're in the state of depression, when we're in the state of sickness, we can get ourselves out of it with our thoughts. All he had to do was think differently. He could have been in prison for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I can look at myself. Do we have a minute?
Yes, ma'am.
I can look at myself. I, too, was in prison at one point, sick. Actually, the doctor sent me home to die. They said that was it. And I thought there was no possibility. But then when I got that glimmer of hope, I said, whoa. My brother James says, hey, it's mind over matter. And so, and then my mother, Eva, she came and said, you got to get up and you got to do something, you know. And this kind of gave me some hope. Then I started to searching and reading, and I was finding every faith book I could find, and some of them told me nothing much. Some of them told me, you got to have faith. They didn't tell me how to have it. They didn't tell me how to increase it. They didn't tell me where I could get it from.
Okay.
So I looked in the book of Romans and found out that all of us have the same amount. I said, oh, okay, I got it. So now what I got to do is develop it, and the way I have to develop it is with my thoughts. Because there were always thoughts in the back of my mind, oops, you're going to die. And I would say, I'm going to live.
And you know what? That reminds me of something that I share with people a lot, Evelyn, and that is the role that the mind plays in our walk in this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest is Evelyn, the Motivator. You make sure you stay with us. She's going to enrich us some more as soon as we come back.